Radio.
Vocation Story, Missionary in Modern Australia, an interview with Father Suresh Kumar.
Hi, look, good to be here with you to talk to you about my life journey so far. Like next year, I'm going to be 10 years priest, and it is a very significant moment for our family and especially for my congregation to which I belong to. So this morning I would like to share with you my life journey, especially in terms of my conversion and the new life, the way that I discover God and encounter Him in my everyday life. It all began when my mom decided to convert. You know, we were from a royal background family from Islam, living in India. And after the British left the country and, you know, the Indian Union was being united with all the rest of India. And at that time, you know, the land was taken over by the government, but we were still given that privilege of being in the royal family. We were from a big family, living together, kind of a joint family, you know, how in India they live together. And it was all going well. And my mom, she studied in a convent school, a Catholic convent school. And during her schooling itself, like, she was very close to Jesus, and she used to go for the Mass and read the Bible hidingly, not making it known to others. And she discovered this something that is new, and she always had that love for Jesus. She got married, had 5 children, 1 died, and 4 of us. Still, that she had that urge of becoming a Catholic. So she decided when I was 7 years old, she converted my father and 4 children. We were baptized in the Catholic Church, received First Holy Communion, confirmation, and so on. Now, this is not known to the other family members at that time. So we used to go to mosque on Friday and on Sunday to the church. My father would take me to the mosque. I still remember some of the prayers in Arabic. And my mom used to take me to the church for the Mass. So one side we have namaz, the other side we have Mass. So I used to wonder in my young mind, one side in the mosque when I am there, saying the Friday prayers, I can't see anything there, whereas on Sundays when I go there, I see Jesus hanging on the cross. At that time in my young mind, I would ask, what did he do? You know, he's God, but he's hanging on the cross. How can God be dying on the cross? What did he do to be punished like that? So things like that, it used to come to my mind. And slowly, like, I started growing up in the faith. And then the news was revealed to others that we converted ourselves, and that's it, the hell broke out. And we were asked to get out of the house. We were living in a massive house, which is sheltering around 16 families at the moment. So we were asked to leave that house overnight with just the clothing that we were wearing. Nowhere to go, we didn't know anyone. At that time, not used to the outside world, but still, like, you know, my extended family literally chased us out of the house. And we landed up in this particular parish where this priest lives who converted us. So he gave us a little shelter in the parish hall for a few days, and then we found a rented house. And we were literally staying in a kind of under the staircase for more than a week. And then we moved to this rented house, very small. When it rains, it would leak. You know, it's all tiled house. And we used to keep awake collecting the water and things like that. I still remember all those things. Anyway, we were put in Catholic schools, all of us. We started to know the faith, started to practice. I became an altar boy, serving at the altar, and growing up with the other Catholics, knowing the faith better, understanding it and things like that. It was a very difficult journey. Sometimes we didn't have enough to eat. We didn't have a proper shelter. We didn't have money. We were quite underprivileged sort of family. But we had that inner joy all through. You know, the family was very united, you know, immediate family. And my father died after 2 years. So my mom and my siblings, three of them, two sisters and a brother. And we were quite united, supporting one another. We were quite small also. My mom got job in the school as a teacher, where I was studying in the same school. And she really struggled to bring us up. We also worked, you know, after hours, after the school, we used to go and do some account writing. And I used to work in a mechanic shop to repair the motorbikes and things like that. So every rupee, as we call it, Indian currency, every rupee mattered. And we supported one another. We grew up like that. And I wanted to be a police officer. Because, you know, when I see injustice being done, I really get upset, get angry. So I wanted to do something about it. So I wanted to be a police officer. So I started preparing myself from my primary school to be a police officer. I used to look up on the you know, police officers who are well known at that time in India as kind of models and my heroes. So I used to learn from them, and everything was same. I used to be very mischievous, active, involving sports and extracurricular activities in the school and so on and so forth. Everything was normal. But not even in my dream I thought I will become a priest. In the beginning, there is absolutely no idea. It all happened when I was in year 10. In those days, we have to prove ourselves in the school. We have to get good marks. Even now, like, it's very difficult to get high grades. And without high grades, you don't get any job or you're not recognized. So being a son of a teacher in the same school, I have to prove myself. So I used to go for the tuitions for maths and science. So it so happened one Sunday, I was returning back after my tuitions. And I stopped my push bike to adjust my bag, which was on the carrier. I heard a cry of a little baby. It was getting dark, so I couldn't see anything. I was thinking it's the cry of the cat, because it is similar, cry of a baby and cry of a cat is similar. So I thought it's maybe a cat is crying somewhere. Then I noticed a little far, there was this bundle being pulled by stray dogs. Bundle of clothing. I thought a cat is caught up there among these dogs, so I wanted to rescue the cat. I take a stick and chase these dogs, and I open this bundle. To my shock, there was this little baby girl, a newborn baby girl. That really shook me. She was bruised because of the dog scratching and all, like, and I didn't know what to do. I picked up the baby. I went to the neighborhood and I asked them, whose baby is that? They looked at me like kind of strange. You're bringing a baby and asking us whose baby it is. Anyway, I took the baby. I didn't know where to go, so I took the baby to the Mother Teresa convent. And there, the mother, the sister, who is a mother superior, didn't have an arm. She was working with one arm. Like, all these things, like, you know, adding up. Anyway, I gave the baby. And I asked her to look after her. Immediately they gave her injections and all, like, kind of anti-venom injection because of the dog bite. And the baby was there for 2 years. After 2 years, she was adopted by a couple in Chennai. But this really a kind of turning point in my life. I started asking question, why did this happen? Who is that baby? That baby also is child of God, born as a symbol of love between two individuals, whereas the baby is thrown in the garbage as unwanted. It's a human person. So that made me to think further. So I didn't want to remain in a small circle and just living for myself, my family, maybe my wife, my children, my job, my house. So I wanted to do something about it. I can't do it myself. I need some help, I need some support. So I then only thought of becoming a priest. But kind of silent came to my life. I became very reflective and introspecting what I need to do. At that time only I decided to do something like this. Now at that time, I didn't know where to join, because I also worked with the Salesians of Don Bosco who were doing the youth ministry. So I used to work with them for the young people there when I was in the school. But I also liked the missionary life of the Jesuits. So I was bombarded between these two. I went and saw their lifestyle, and but I was not that satisfied. I was quite attracted to the Salesian style of life, but also I wanted to be a missionary. So I told the priest who converted me, I want to be a missionary but following Salesian spirituality. He said, "You are confusing me now," he said. Then he introduced me to a priest who was from a congregation called the Missionaries of St. Francis de Sales. I was quite happy, because the decision was at the last moment, just before I could join somewhere after my year 12. 2 years, like, you know, I was thinking of. When I went to see this priest was watering the garden, looking after the trees. That was a new sight for me, because I have never seen priest working in the garden like that in India. So when I saw that, I was very touched by his simplicity. I said, "This is it, this is the place for me." So I joined him. Then I went to Goa. I studied in Goa, Belgaum, Pune. I did my philosophy studies and theology. I was ordained in 2004. But it was a bit hard journey, even during my seminary days. I was really myself. You know, I used to be mischievous. I used to break the rules. The rectors always used to say, "Keep the rules and the rules will keep you." But we used to break the rules, but still I remain back. So all those so-called pious, spiritual seminarians, today they are having 3 or 4 kids. But 4 of us were ordained out of 32. So 28 left, 4 of us were ordained. And these 4 were used to be always in the blacklist of the congregation. And we used to be highly mischievous, doing naughty stuff and, you know, breaking the rules here and there, disobedient and all sorts of things. But when I see that, when I reflect now, it's like God choosing the weak and making it strong. You know, it's not that God expects you to be in prayer 24 hours. It's both contemplation and action. And we were quite active. But we didn't get into serious trouble, because we used to really shine in the seminary in terms of studies and sports. So they didn't have any negative on that. Whereas the other things, they always used to say, "Oh, go and get married, go and get married." But these 4 did not get married. Whereas the other 28, who used to be early for the mass, early for meditation, early for rosary and praying at the lunchtime, and these guys are all gone. Whereas these 4 remain back. Now 4 of us are different places. One is in Germany, I'm here. And the other one is in Brazil. The 4th one is in India. So all of us are scattered, but still, like, you know, we survived. May not be survival, but maybe that's God's choice. That's the way it has to be. So I got ordained in 2004. I worked in Bombay. Very massive parish with thousands of parishioners, a big school with thousands of students, a lot of things to learn. Still, I did a youth ministry there with a huge number of young people. I used to literally chase them out because they used to be in the church grounds till about 11, 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night playing basketball and things like that. Anyway, I got the appointment to come to Australia in 2007. It was a surprise for me, because I never thought my superiors will decide to send me to Australia, because I was just ordained. Normally they send after 10 years of experience and so on. So when I got this appointment, I was a bit surprised as well as shocked, because I never thought that I would be sent abroad. So I was a bit wondering whether I will fit in. So I did ask the provincial whether I will fit in. He said, yes, that's why we're sending you. So the first thing I did was that after speaking to the provincial, I went to the world map that was in my room and I kept my hand on it and I just measured the distance between India and Australia. I said, that's too far. You know, in India itself, like to go from one place to the other, it takes ages. Whereas to travel this far, it's really long. So I was very disturbed, and also my family was disturbed that I have to go overseas. I miss my mom. I miss my family members. So I call my mommy every night. I call her. No matter where I'm in the world, I call her. Because I don't think that we are too busy to call our mothers, no matter what we are doing. Okay, I always believe if you are faithful to two mothers, heavenly mother, earthly mother, your life will be all right. So I called my mommy, and so the decision, like, you know, that it was not given to me. They decided, just the congregation just decided, and with obedience, I took it up. One policy that I try to have in my religious life is that no demand and no refusal. Because when we demand, if you don't get it, you are disappointed. You refuse, and then you are given something else. If you are not happy, you can't even ask for another thing. So best thing is to go whatever that God decides through your superior. If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. If it is gone like it's right. As Saint Francis de Sales says, bloom where you are planted. We used to tell that, we used to make fun, bloom where you are transplanted also. So appointment, reappointments, whatever, you know, everywhere people need God. Is there any place in the world that they no need God? Like, you know, everyone needs God. Wherever the human persons can live, certainly priests are needed there. So the appointment was very interesting. And then after that I started preparing. I didn't even have my passport. So I told my provincial, I don't have passport. He said, get it. What about the visa? Work for it. So it took almost 6 months to get the visa. I came here with a 457 work permit visa. And I got the permanent residency later. Now I'm a citizen. And I voted for two elections so far, a federal and a council election. I like it here. This country is really good, very beautiful. God has taken a lot of time to create this country. So beautiful in terms of nature and the resources and things like that. So I came here, new culture, new people, new lifestyle. And I did struggle in the beginning to understand people's, you know, the idioms and phrases and how to communicate, to understand their background and to proclaim the word, things like that. But all through in the 6 years, I have noticed the hand of God working. There were ups and downs, both joys and sorrows. I think if God wants, I think He clears up the way. Nothing ever will really stop you if really God wants, because He's more powerful than any other force in the world. So nothing can really stop you. So there were difficulties. Even I too went through, you know, racism and discrimination and things like that. But when God is with you, nothing can be against you. Those things will crumble away one day. And ever since Pope Francis came, it has been a really joyful moment for me, because He's changing the face of the church. He has become the face of the church and drawing thousands of people back to the church, especially giving an option for the poor and the marginalized, those people who have been forgotten and those people who left. My one friend in India, he left the church because of some tussle with his bishop. Though he was close to God, I know he was praying and things like that, but he was not in the church. Whereas Pope Francis brought him back. You know, I'm so glad that he observed those things, and he said, there is a hope for me. to be back in the church. In fact, his grandfather donated a huge amount of land to the church, wherein two parishes are existing now at the moment in that land. So things like that. And also with here in our diocese, working with Bishop Anthony is an awesome thing. He's a very genuine, people-concerned bishop, and highly intellectual, wanting to do a lot of things. But every local diocese has its own problems, its own difficulties, non-cooperation and things like that, bureaucracy or politics and whatever. But he really tries to overcome all those things and give that God experience to the people. And here too, I worked, now it's my fourth parish. Briefly, I was less than 6 months in one parish, the other parish for 9 months, and then in the cathedral for 5.5 years. Now in my present parish in Greystanes for 4 months. It has been very eventful journey. People are very good here at Greystanes. And even all over, people are very welcoming. I really felt that people are hungry for God, thirsty for God. And we have to cater to them. But I really feel the Australian church has to adapt to a new way of evangelizing people. As Pope Francis says, don't be just preaching from the pulpit, take it to the streets. I think we have to start doing those things, reading the signs of the time, because people are in the marketplace, people are in the street corners, people are in the workplaces. How can we make God present there? That's the biggest challenge. Like olden days of traditional way of going about, we wait for the people to come to the church. Yes, of course, some people do. As Jesus says, there are many flocks out there who we are called to cater to. So I think we need to look after them as well. They too are children of God. And how do we do it? We have to give a go at everything. Media, digital media, social media, visits, regular visits, and looking after people in the hospitals who are suffering, talking to the people. And we need to really get into every departments also. Normally we have chaplains for, say, hospitals or police at the moment. What about IT professionals? What about accountants? What about the people there out there? We have to really get out. And our task is to make evangelizers to evangelize. So we can make a huge difference. A parish is not bounded by streets now. A parish is universal. We can work for anyone, anywhere. And we can't really remain within our boundaries, creating our own little walls around us. So I really desire those things. Like in a Western Sydney, where most of the people live, of Sydney, we can do lots. Sometimes the mediocrity creeps into our life, especially in the church life, doing the minimum. But we need to always think of minimum necessities, but for maximum possibilities. That is where we can really reach out. Certainly, as Jonathan Doyle says, we have best product in the world, but our marketing is hopeless. I agree with him. 100% I agree with him. Because we have best product in the world, salvation of souls. Who can give? Nobody else gives that in the world. We can't buy that in the stock market. Whereas the church gives that salvation of souls, and people know it. People know it and they desire for it. When things go wrong, say natural calamity or death in the family or something is lost, people really feel that they are feeling helpless. They turn to God. Whereas because of our issues, because of we going about, we shun away people, we break their heart, we don't say sorry, things like that, whereas our church could be much bigger. I'm not worried about the quantity, but the quality of it. It could be much bigger. Whereas we Catholics, also within the church, we are too busy discussing whether we are conservative or liberals. What does it matter for God? Does it really matter? He says very clearly, what I want is mercy, not sacrifice. So forget it. Get into the work that we are called to do. Whereas instead of evangelizing, we are fighting within ourselves. There's a division, So we have to overcome those things. We have to join our forces. There's so much of goodness in the people. I don't know why they are not giving it to others. Are they waiting for the second coming of Christ? That will be too late. So we need to really get into... You will never know when he comes back and what account are we going to give when he comes back. He says, I'm going to come like a thief. He's not going to give a phone call. He's not going to send you an SMS or... So we need to be ready, but Australian church is not ready. It's a long way to go. All that I wish is that the evangelization really boots up. We need to boost up the evangelization. And all of us have to work. It's not the work of the bishops or priests or few lay people who are involved in the church. It's responsibility of every Christian, every Catholic. We need to make that difference now. It's not tomorrow. Evangelization is not for tomorrow. We have spoken enough of evangelization. Everyone knows about it. We need to start doing it. First we need to live the evangelization, and then we need to proclaim the evangelization. Both have to go. Evangelization is not for the people out there. It's for oneself and then for others. You can't give what you don't have. So first we need to be evangelized and then evangelize. And basically we need to get the values of Christ to everyone. Secondly, I'm praying for more priests here. And I'm glad that bishops have opened it up and the society is accepting the overseas priests at least. Once upon a time India was a mission country. Now India sends out missionaries, which is a good thing. And also Philippines and South America and countries like that. But at the same time, we need to have local harvest. Here we need to promote vocations. It's not only for priesthood, but also for every vocation. Every vocation is important, even as a lay person. That's one of the things that I desire, is that I can say that church has failed to tap into the resources of the laity. We keep the laity to do the acolyte thing. We keep the laity for some sort of devotional groups like Legion of Mary or Catinians or some sort of lay associations. How about we get all the lawyers and evangelize them and give them opportunities to fight for justice for the poor? How about we get every profession together and tap into their resources? Imagine if everyone decides to do that. That's power of God. Look at the word church. There is CH in front, CH at the back. You are in between. You are in the middle of the church, literally speaking, in the word. So everyone has to feel the responsibility of it. It's not only the Vatican Council. Second Vatican Council is very clear by saying the church is a people of God. It involves everyone. So I really desire, I'm glad that we have few seminarians now, but I pray for more. But at the same time, quantity doesn't matter. Quality. But what quality? A priest has to be another Christ. Anyway, I think we have spoken enough. Let's say the Angelus.
That was Father Suresh Kumar with Vocation Story, Missionary in Modern Australia. For more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au.